We haven't met yet. My name is Chris, and I have the privilege of being one of the staff pastors here at Highlight Church. And hey, on behalf of our lead pastors, Joshua and Kai Redding, we're just so glad that you're joining us today. We're continuing in our series, God and Legacy. It's all about faith, family, and finances. And it's such an amazing, amazing series that I get to continue in with you all today. Yeah. This morning, we're going to be focusing, though, on a key text that's found in Nehemiah 4. But to just give you some context of who Nehemiah is or what his story may look like, Nehemiah was a gentleman who ended up being the cupbearer for the king of Persia. A cupbearer was someone who would drink the wine before that it was given to the king to consume. I like to think he was the first person who got to die. The cup was poisoned. He went, not the king. It was an honorable position. You had to gain a lot of trust to be the king's cup bearer. But during this point, the Jewish people had just been released back to Jerusalem after being held captive in Babylon for 70 years. And once the people got there, they sent word back of the condition of the place. And Nehemiah was filled with grief when he heard that the wall surrounding the city was torn down. He remembered this beautiful wall that provided protection and safety for everyone who lived there. Yet the gates were broken. The walls had large gaping holes. It left the people in the city in a really vulnerable place. And so Nehemiah prayed. He prayed to God that the king of Persia would grant him access to go and be a part of rebuilding that wall. And not only did the king give him permission to go, he also wrote letters so that he would ensure his safe passage all the way back to Jerusalem as he was rebuilding the wall. But it wasn't all good news for Nehemiah, because there's obviously some people who didn't really like the people of Jerusalem at that time. And when the enemies heard that the wall was being rebuilt, I mean, the Arabs, the Ammonites, the people of Ashdod, they all heard that this wall was going to be rebuilt, and they immediately began to plan and gather people to dismantle it, to tear it down by force. They did not want that wall to go up. And so we flash forward here into Nehemiah 4. We're going to pick it up because we're going to see how Nehemiah responds to the plans of the enemies to tear down the wall. Again, it says this, Nehemiah 4, verse 13, it says, "So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by families, armed with swords, spears, and bows. Then, as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said, 'Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your home.'" What I love about this is Nehemiah fortified one specific area, all of the families that made up their community. He said, "I need to protect these people as we continue to build this wall." Why? Because we see the primary motive of the enemy in this text. One of his key focuses, one of his key desires to attack, one of the things he loves to put a target on: families. Wow. Satan loves to attack families. He loves to create broken homes. He loves to cause marriages to be divorced. He loves to keep kids from being birthed and raised up in the goodness and the knowledge of who the Lord is. He loves to attack families. This isn't in my opinion. It's not just what the text says. We can see it statistically across America. I have some stats I'd love to bring you. We see right now, today, marriage is at an all-time low. Gallup reported that in 1985, 64% of our population that were polled were married. Flash forward today, 2020 reports that 49% of our population is married. How about our children? Gallup reported that 67% of adults today attended church regularly as kids. Yet only 33% of families polled that had children attend church regularly today. We're seeing a drop. How about this one? Research reports that 23% of kids being raised today are in single-parent homes. 1990, 30 years ago, it was 7%. I think it's safe to say, based upon the statistics we're seeing in America, that the enemy is winning. The enemy is winning the battle against our families. And I feel like a lot of us this morning, we may find our family in a difficult situation currently. Whether it's a financial situation, maybe it's a health-related issue, maybe it's relationally, maybe our family itself is divided. That our kids are being raised in single-parent homes. We feel attacked. We feel vulnerable. We feel like we need God more than ever. And I pray that, like me, you don't want to continue in the same trajectory that America's heading into. That you believe that there's this greater future for your family, yes, for your friends, for your children, for your marriage. That there's greater. That we don't have to succumb to what the society norm is.
Right.
That we can be different. Like Nehemiah, I believe with God's enabling, you can begin to rebuild this wall of protection around your family. What I love about the text is Nehemiah actually rebuilt the wall in 52 days. But more importantly, he didn't just rebuild the wall. He rebuilt the spiritual protection and the spiritual relationship that people had with God. And I'm believing the same thing that can happen to you. A season of intentionality can turn the tides and make all the difference. I'm believing that even though the wall may be torn down from a spiritual perspective in your family, that if you begin to be intentional with it, if you begin to focus on rebuilding it, your family is going to become stronger. Your family is going to make it through. You're going to get back on track. But the question that I want to ask you all today, this is, we've been posing all of our messages around a key question. And so the question I want to bring to you all today is, how can I fight for my family today? How can I fight for my family today? Well, unlike Nehemiah, we're not going to be doing it with swords, spears, and bows. Now, I do believe in protecting your family in a physical aspect. You know, get the correct training, make sure that you know how to defend your home. But today, for the context of what I'm talking about, we're going to be focusing more on the spiritual aspect, the spiritual building of a wall. And I'm talking specifically about prayer. I'm talking about how through prayer you can safeguard and protect your home. So today what I want to do is I want to give you three prayers to help you fight for your family and gain family favor. So today, if you're taking notes, I'd love for you to title today's message, Family Favor. If you're not taking notes, online family, or all of our guests here, go ahead and title today's message in your notes, Family Favor. And hey, look, I understand that cultivating a healthy prayer life isn't necessarily the top thing on our desire list. It's not like the one thing that we run to. It's not like the sexiest choice to focus on, right? Developing a healthy prayer life. It's not exciting. And I think for a lot of us, it's primarily down to two reasons, if we're being honest with ourselves. Two reasons why we don't want to cultivate a healthy prayer life. Number one, we probably don't know how to pray. I know when I first gave my life to Jesus, I had zero idea on how to pray. And then number two, I think if we're being really honest with ourselves, we don't want to pray.
Yep.
We just don't want to. There's no desire there. I think a lot of us, we believe in God, but then when we go to pray, it's like, who am I praying to? I don't see anybody. What's the point? But I'm telling you, a season of healthy prayer, cultivating this discipline of prayer in your life can make all the difference. And I'm believing that if you implement these three prayers, you're going to begin to see God move powerfully in your life and in your family's lives. And so prayer number one, if you're taking notes, I want to encourage you, pray for God's provision. Pray for God's provision. I know for a lot of us, we may not be in the best financial season of our lives. You know, COVID really didn't help us out much. And, you know, the Instagram algorithm feed for me is really showing me how expensive things are nowadays. I mean, I think the biggest mistake for my life is not buying a house when I was 8 years old. According to Instagram, that was when I should have bought it. I mean, gas used to be $1.20 a gallon. Now it's like $4. Food, I mean, do you remember when McDonald's used to be the dollar menu? Now it's the $5 menu. What happened? Things are expensive. And if I could just speak transparently, my wife and I, we just now got into a season of finally being on top of our finances. I mean, we finally got a good budget in place. We finally paid off a lot of debt. We're finally in a great situation. Thank you. We could celebrate that. I'm believing the same thing for you. But if I could be honest, it was a lot of God, please provide. God, please, we need a breakthrough. Father, make it rain. Money. We need it. We needed his provision. It was a lot of seasons like that. But if I could be honest with you, the most discouraging part of that entire season of our life was not the lack of finances. It was the comparison trap. It was comparing ourselves to others. And comparison is sticky because when you're in a situation that you really don't want to be in for much longer, it gets heightened. I mean, I can't count on my hand how many times we felt discouraged, focusing on where is the money going to come from? How are we going to put food on the table? Are we ever going to be able to buy something for ourselves without swiping a credit card? Are we ever going to be able to get our kids whatever they wanted? And then seemingly looking around at every family around us, they were doing so much better than us. Right. Everything seemed to be working out the way that they had hoped for. And I just remember in that moment that it was just stacking on top of itself. It was draining. It was draining. And you know, it's funny because what do we do in those moments? Do we believe God for greater? No, we dwell on it. And we allow those thoughts to stack and the anxiety to rise and the negative to swirl around. And we begin so tunnel visioned on what we don't have and what others do. We get caught in this comparison game. But if I can encourage you for a little bit, if you find yourself in that situation, let me help you lift your perspective a little bit. It's a distraction. Yeah. It's a distraction designed by the enemy himself. It's a distraction for you to lose focus at the task at hand. When Nehemiah heard that the enemies wanted to come and destroy what they were doing, he didn't get distracted by what was going to happen. He began to fortify what he could and continue building where he was. I want to encourage you, focus on the race that God has you and your family on. Don't focus on someone else's plot of land. Focus on the plot that God has placed before you. If you're struggling to find where your provision is coming from, I'd encourage you, begin to engage in prayer and ask the one who can provide anything that you could ever need. Stop trying to figure it out on your own. Stop looking at others and becoming discouraged. Begin to look down and say, God, thank you for what you've given me, and I'm going to believe you for greater. Yeah. I want to encourage you. God has given you everything you need in this season. Amen. You just have to focus on building it. Focus on rebuilding your wall, rebuilding a wall of wealth and provision. God wants that for you, but you have to pray to him for it. Pray for God's provision in your family's life. I love what Matthew 7:7-8 says. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible is Matthew 7. I'd love to read it here for you. It says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Here's the key point, is our prayer life shapes our daily lives. God wants us to live abundantly. In fact, he wants us to be doing so well financially that we can extend that blessing out to others. And so I want to encourage you, as you pray for your family, from a pure place, not seeking what someone else has, not trying to rush out of your season without growing through it, not even praying for increase without creating a budget to sustain it. God will protect us from our own prayers if we're not ready for them. But the key thought is this. When we faithfully position ourselves to receive, we can live in the fullness of what God has for us. What is Jesus saying? That you need to ask and keep on asking. I love what that text said. It says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Because those who ask, receive. Those who seek, find. Those who knock, someone say it with me, the door will be opened. If you're praying and believing for greater, if you're needing provision in your life, begin to pray to God for it. It will make all the difference. Prayer point number two, I want you guys to pray for this in this season, is God's protection. God's protection. You know, if you've ever texted me and asked, like, hey, Chris, how could I be praying for you and your family in this season? You're always going to get one thing. At this point, you might as well not even ask me, because this is what you're going to hear. I'm going to ask for you to pray for protection over myself and my family. It never ceases. Why? Because if there's one thing I've learned over all these years of walking with the Lord, of doing ministry, is that the enemy loves to attack our families. It's not just from the stats. It's not just from the word. I mean, I've lived it. I have seen the enemy come after our family time and time again. He's come after our pastor's family. If you don't know their story, man, he came at them left and right. Our staff's families, man, he loves to attack families. And I got to experience a little bit of that this past Monday. You know, I was sharing that our family's finally in somewhat of a breakthrough season. We call it our blessing season. Everything we've been praying for, hoping for, asking God for, we've received it in this life. But this past Monday, there was a little bit of a hiccup. You know, for Mondays over the past 7 weeks, we've been doing highlight leadership. If you're in highlight leadership, let's give you guys a round of applause. Highlight leadership is fantastic. I mean, it's a great place for you to grow in your leadership, to be equipped. If you want to sign up for it, we will be having another semester coming up soon. But I love it. I mean, the final week was this past Monday. And I mean, they get their nice certificates of completion. We pray and anoint them with oil. I mean, it was just such a celebration. And then afterwards, my kids are out in the lobby. They're playing. They don't want to leave. They call this place Orange House. If you didn't know, our Frederick location has brick all around it. So it's also orange. So there's like, we have two orange houses. And so my kids are elated. I pray for the day that we could paint it white or a different color than orange. But you know, we're thankful for what we have. But my kids love Orange House. They love coming here. They love being in the house of the Lord. And so we get home and it's time for bed. It's late. It's like 10 p.m. And how many dads in here like to play with their kids right before bed? See, I like to get my kids all stir crazy and then throw them in their bed and say, you deal with it. Like, you go to sleep now. It's time to go to sleep. I like to get them all worked up. It's a lot of fun for me, and I like to roughhouse with my kids. And so right now, Cohen, I don't know why, but he's in this, like, I want to beat you up phase. He has, like, this spatula and, like, a stick, and he likes to attack you left and right. Like, it's his favorite thing in the world. And it's funny to me because if you haven't noticed, I'm 6 foot. I weigh like 215, 220 pounds. He can't beat me up, but he thinks he can. So he's like pushing on me, trying to knock me over in our dining room area. And I'm obviously, you know, I'm not making it easy on him. So I'm like tickling him. I'm knocking his feet out from under him. I'm pushing him back a little bit. And he's laughing, ha, 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 comes running back for more. And so then my daughter looks at it and she's 4. She's like, no, this isn't fair. You're too big, Dad. We need to both attack you. So she's got one leg. He's got the other. And they're just attacking. And I remember I do this with him all the time. I love to like lift him up, flip him upside down. I'll tickle him. And so I reach down and I grab his leg and I lifted him up. And something was different. He either grabbed on, I feel like he pushed off, but I felt his foot slip out of my hand. And I did the terrible thing of rewatching the tape because we have a security camera and I relived it. And it was a whole lot worse than what I thought. But he slips. And he starts falling. And in that moment, I'm like, I'm dropping my son on his head right now. And so I freak out, but I couldn't move because my daughter had my leg. And so I bend down and I'm able to kind of get him to rotate somewhat flat, but I still couldn't catch him. I grab his other leg, it slips out, and he falls from about 3 or 4 feet and just, his head kind of ricochets off the hardwood floor and he starts crying. And I remember I got down so fast, I put him in my arms, and I'm immediately like, is his limbs okay? Did he break anything? All of his arms and legs are fine, so I rush him over to the restroom. He's crying. I'm looking at his mouth like, is there any blood in your mouth? How are your ears looking? His head looked completely fine, and I begin to think, oh, God, thank you. This could have been a whole lot worse. And so I bring him over to his mom, and I give him in his mom's arms, and she's rubbing him, trying to soothe him. And then all of a sudden, I hear, Chris? And I was like, I knew that it wasn't going to be okay. I turned around and all of a sudden he has this gigantic golf ball of a bump on his forehead. That fun night, that celebratory evening quickly became a nightmare for our family. So we packed up our entire family and we rushed over to the emergency room, and Shady Grove did a great job. They got us a bed in like 5-10 minutes. We get him up to the second floor and he's coming in and out of consciousness because he was already tired, but now with the crying, and of course I'm thinking the bump is not good for him. And so we actually have a photo for you where you could see the bump in his mom's arm. Wow. It's a big old bump. And I begin to think the worst. The thoughts swell into my mind. How could I be so foolish? Why would I think that that was even a good idea? I should have never played with him like that. Why would I even let him drop him? I'm the one supposed to be keeping him safe. I even thought the worst. I just killed my son. He's not going to bounce back from this. He landed flat on his head. And I remember telling my wife, I was like, I feel so stupid. I just started crying. My daughter's sitting on my lap, and she looks at her mom. She's like, Mommy, why is Daddy crying? And she goes, well, Daddy's scared and sad. You know, Cohen could really be hurt. I began to feel like this feeling on the inside of me that even though this isn't exactly what I wanted to be doing, this isn't the situation I wanted to find myself in, but I just felt like in this moment, I have to continue to lead my family. And the only thing that we can do in this moment is to pray. I just had this feeling that, man, I got to pray over my family right now. I got to pray for protection and healing. And so Megan lays a hand on his forehead and we begin to pray. And I'm just asking God, protect us. Keep us safe, Father. I pray that you heal him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, Father, that the bump vanishes, that everything's going to be fine, that there's no need to do any tests because he's already healed in Jesus' name. And so we pray, and then the doctor comes in to take a look at him. They gave him some ibuprofen because he's obviously in pain. And then no more than a few minutes later, this kid wants off of his mom. He's hopping down on the hospital room, and he's running around like nothing ever happened. He's poking out, looking around, just filled with joy and love. He's laying on her stomach saying, God is good all the time, God is good. And I was in awe. Just completely in awe because the residue of what just happened was still so present.
Right.
But the reality was setting in. Right. Like, oh my God, a miracle is taking place. And so we get home after being discharged 2 hours later. They said, hey, everything looks just fine. He may have the bump for the next 3 or 4 days, maybe a few weeks, but everything looks fine. There's no concussion. There's no issue. He just had a good bump on the head. It happens all the time. So we take him home. We pray over him again. We put him to sleep. And would you believe it? Next morning, I wake up. He's running into my room and I see this beautiful smiling face without a bump on his forehead at all. And I begin to think, oh my gosh, I'm witnessing a miracle in my life. But then God kind of hit me with this, that it's not a miracle that I'm witnessing. It's the power of prayer at work.
Yeah.
You see, I've come to learn that miracles are the power of prayer at work.
Yeah.
That we saw a miracle right before our eyes, but it was because of our prayers for our son. I began to realize that God truly was fighting my battle, that he was providing protection against every attack, whether it was external or internal. I began to realize that even when I didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel, even when I thought it was all over, God still had a plan. And in that moment, I had a choice. I could either succumb to the circumstance I was placed in, or I could well up and pray and fight for my family and believe that I pray and worship the God of the impossible. That I worship a God of miracles, that I worship a God of healing, that I worship a God of breakthrough. And don't you realize that you worship and pray to that same God, that same protection and power can be extended to you. I didn't receive my breakthrough because it was just an act of God. It's because I prayed to the one who could provide the healing that my son needed. I love this verse that's found in Philippians 4. I reference it all the time, but I think it's so strong what Paul shares to us. Philippians 4, it says this, verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and then thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard you, your hearts and minds, as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, as I was prepping for this message, I knew I wanted to talk about this verse, but I had never seen this part before, and I want to share it with you. I knew I had to include it because this is the key. It says this in verse 9. It says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. What does this mean? That I have to be moving forward. That I have to be serving the Lord, that I have to be putting into practice all that I have learned. I can't just pray on a Sunday when nothing's happening. I have to pray when the problems arise and believe that God is on my side. We see this in Nehemiah. God protected him on his way to Jerusalem. God protected him while he was completing the assignment that he placed before him. It wasn't until that I prayed for my family that breakthrough came. Amen. And so I want to ask you, what is God putting on your plate in this season? What is God calling you to focus on in this season? I personally believe, in the context of today's message, it's to cultivate a healthy discipline of prayer. Yes. It's to cultivate a strong prayer life, because here's the key. Practice the discipline of prayer today, because the test is coming.
Yes. Right.
It's not an if, it's a when. So don't be discouraged if your family is under attack in this season. God is trying to show you his goodness through it. Yes. His plan of protection, his plan for you to overcome is already set in motion. But what you have to do in those moments is you have to pray and move forward. You have to fight for your family and believe that God is on your side, that your miracle is around the corner. The God of peace is with you. Don't stop building. Don't stand down. Be like Nehemiah. Stand strong. Press forward. Trust that God is with you and he's working on your side. Lastly, as we conclude today, the final prayer point that I want you guys to pray in this season is for God's presence. If I could be honest with you, if you sat through this entire message and everything went over your head, this is the one thing I want you to take away. Online family, write this down. It's that God's promises are not automatic. What does this mean? That just because I pray for his provision, just because I pray for his protection, doesn't mean that it's automatically going to happen in my life. Nor does it mean it's going to happen on the timeline that I wish it would. But here's the key. To receive God's protection, to receive God's provision, I must first seek his presence. We must have an authentic desire to breathe in the presence of our Father. To not just ask God what we need, but specifically to seek out his heart. What I've come to learn over the years of following the Lord is that the more that I know him, the closer I am to him, the more that my prayers become less selfish and more selfless. That I stop worrying about my problems and I start caring about others. The more that I pray to be in God's presence, the more that I pick up my word and I read it and I digest it and I pray over it. The more that I begin to see every problem I face in my life begin to be wiped away. Yet my heart is filled with burden for others. Why? Because when you begin to pray for your family and you have a burden for it, to rebuild this broken wall that protects and keeps your family safe, when you get into his presence, when you stop wasting time trying to figure out all of your problems on your own, trying to fight this fight by yourself, honestly, you just make things harder than what they need to be. But when you give God control, man, he does something in you. And you begin to recognize that all I really need is the presence of God in my life. And I'm believing that today is the day that you give God control. That you stop trying to work at this thing called life on your own. You come here this morning because you're seeking something. You're searching something. Don't leave here without receiving it. To do so, to receive the joy you've been praying for, the peace that you need in this season, you have to give God control. I love what David writes in Psalm 16:11. It's not going to pop up. I just wanted to share it with you from the heart. It says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there's blessings forevermore." What is David saying? When I'm in the presence of the Father and I give him control, I have everything I need. I believe this morning that God is ready to shower you with his love, to give you access to this peace, this joy that you've been longing for, that you've been desiring. It's here for you. Every single thing that you need, every resource, every piece of protection you need to overcome in this, it's already set in motion. It's already before you. All you need to do to see your family be restored in this season is to get in God's presence and to begin to cultivate a healthy system of prayer in your life. It starts with giving your life to him. I know the joy you've been asking for, that you've been longing for, you can find it today. Just pray to the Father this morning and ask for it. It's there for you to receive. If you enjoyed today's message, the Word of God, can you please give it a round of applause? Man.